I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it. What do you think it's going to cost you in the long run?
That's a good question. I feel like it would cost me that opportunity to be able to fully live so that I have those stories to share. I think that it would cause me to just continuously keep putting my toe in the puddles of water and not actually submerging and experiencing what it feels like to be out of my comfort zone.
This is your Kick-Ass Life Podcast, episode number 298.
This is the Your Kick-Ass Life Podcast with Andrea Owen, a no BS guide to self-help and badassery. Because ladies, let's face it, life's too short for it to not kick ass. And here's your host, the girl who serves it up straight with a side of crazy, Andrea Owen.
Hey there, ass kickers. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you are here. I have another coaching episode for you today. I'm trying to do these once a month. I think we've got it down to a science now where we are releasing about one a month. And one of the things I'm the most excited about around this particular episode is the update that I'm going to give you at the very end. This woman did her homework. She did the work. And I want to emphasize that, okay, how do I say this without being a total dick? I have to have that conversation with myself many times, having a personality and growing up with a mother who was like this, of just not really having a filter and just words fall out of my mouth. And sometimes they fall out of my mouth and I can't pick them back up. And sometimes I have to apologize, and especially here where I have to be a responsible human being, having a platform, being kind, I have to have this conversation with myself where I have to slow down and pause and say, okay, Andrea, be kind, girl. But here's the thing. I am like raising my hand over here because I have so been in this place where we like the idea of personal development. Maybe we like the idea of hiring a life coach and we read all the personal development books and we listen to all the podcasts. You guys know what I'm going to talk about, right? And then we don't really do anything. You know, we're just like, well, it felt like relief at the time when I hit buy now on Amazon or I subscribed to that podcast. And I'm not saying at all that that doesn't matter. It does. I call that like passive learning, passive personal development. You are getting it in between your ears. It's important. I would much rather you listen to empowering podcasts than, I don't know, stuff that's crappy and that's triggering to you and makes you feel awful about yourself. I would much rather have you listen to empowering podcasts than listen to your own inner critic. That's for damn sure. And then there comes a time where action needs to happen. That's why in the chapters in my second book, I really wanted to make sure that there were some kind of action that you take in the form of journaling questions where you are putting pen to paper. Sometimes the action is big, like having a hard conversation with someone, applying for a job, asking for a raise, asking someone out. deciding to do trauma therapy with your therapist, moving to another city or state or country. These can be the big action things that are out of your comfort zone that will get you on the path, get you to the place where you want to be, the things that are in alignment with your values. And that's what happened today on the podcast, which you will hear about in the very end when I talk about the update from Marissa. So in this episode, speaking of values, we do touch on values. Marissa came and she, generally speaking, wanted to learn how to slow down. It was go, go, go. And then the conversation takes a turn, which I wasn't expecting, which she wasn't expecting, which often happens in coaching sessions. So let me just have you take a listen instead of me yammering on and on. Without further ado, here is the coaching conversation with Marissa. Marissa, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much. I'm really excited.
I have my typical podcasting introduction for everybody. My clients, no, but in all seriousness, I'm just so honored and grateful that people show up here to talk about stuff that's going on in their life. And thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. So let's start from the beginning. Tell us who you are, what you do. You know, as you answer the question, what do you do? I know it doesn't really tell exactly who you are as a person, but like, what do you do for a living? As well as where are you?
Yeah. So I actually live in Raleigh, North Carolina. So not too
far from me.
Yeah. So I'm currently in Raleigh. I recently just launched a business. So that's a consulting business, and that's taking up most of my time. And when I'm not working on that, I'm also working part/full-time for another recruitment agency. So that's a little bit about me. I've been in Raleigh for about 4 years. Prior to that, I grew up in Ohio until about age 22, moved to Los Angeles for a few years, and here I am.
And here you are in the South.
Yes.
Well, what, when I posted in our Patreon group, you know, that I was looking for people to come on and have some coaching, what was it that you, what is the topic, like the main topic that you're struggling with right now?
Being okay with slowing down every once in a while. I feel like, especially since I just launched my new business, I have so many ideas and thoughts swirling around in my mind that I just feel like I need to do them all and all at one time. And if I'm not doing that, that it's not enough. And so I'm really struggling with wrapping my head around, it's okay not to do all of the things at one time, and it's okay to just pause and be. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going into that mindset with this business is difficult, because it's, you know, you want that overnight success. And I think that we all logically know that that doesn't happen. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
There's a big difference between, because this is what I hear so much from women, is they say, and this is, you know, if someone's talking about feeling worthy and feeling enough or having self-compassion and things like that, it's that they say exactly what you said. I know logically that this is what I'm supposed to do, or that this is impossible, et cetera, but I can't seem to really embody that or take the necessary action to do that, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm curious about what is the solution that you're looking for? And it doesn't even have to be a quote unquote practical solution. Like, what would be kind of like the magic coaching question of, if I could wave a magic wand and give you what you want, what is it that you're looking for?
I think I just want a better perspective, more clarity around, like, why did I even launch this business to begin with? And so I think when I have more clarity and perspective around that, that'll remind me and help me, I guess, quote unquote, prioritize what I go after, and really keep that fire lit under those things for me. Because like I said, I have so many ideas, and it's just, it's so igniting to me anyway, to be able to chase my passion. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm doing it, it just seems like it's a herd of dogs that I'm chasing after. Yeah. And like, one is going in front of the other and constantly switching places. And so it's almost paralyzing at moments where you know, I feel like I have a good grasp on something and then something else pops up in my life or somebody else pops in my life and I get another idea or I get a distraction and I feel like I need to grab onto that and other things go to the back burner. And so I really just need clarity and the reinforcing mentality of it's okay. Like,
yeah. Well, it sounds like your creativity is in full swing, but it's just, you're making up stories about how quickly it all needs to be done and how organized it all needs to be. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'm also wondering, what are your, I'm totally assuming, and maybe you haven't, have you done any values work?
Yes, I have.
Okay. What are your top values? Like, what's important about the way you live your life?
Definitely accountability is very important to me. Honesty, integrity, and patience, uniquely enough, is very important to me as well.
Okay. Tell me more about that one. Where did that come from?
So that came from, I think, a way that I work. And it's working with other people and knowing that I need to be patient with other people and understand that, you know, they're on their timeline and, you know, what works for me might not work for them. And so approaching my relationships, whether it's professional, personal, whatever it may be, with a really solid understanding of patience is very important for me. And that's something I've done a lot of work on. And at the end of the day, when it comes down to me having patience with myself, it's almost like I've never done any of that work before.
I was just about to say, Marissa, isn't that a coincidence that that's one of your values and you aren't giving yourself the same love in that arena?
Yes.
Why do you think you're the exception?
That's a really good question. I think that I have these, I guess I could call them unrealistic expectations of myself because of the way I've operated almost my entire life of go, 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 go. And this is just not enough. Keep doing more. And, you know, the ever terrifying line from any kind of, you know, authoritative figure in a lot of our lives of nice job, but. And in that sentence, all you hear is, you know, the but or you know, next time do this. And so it's no matter how monumental the thing is that was accomplished, it just doesn't feel like enough. And
yeah,
I think that that's a lot more deep rooted than I ever really knew about. And so it really compromises my patience with myself.
Got it. Okay. Where do you gather your value and your own self-worth? How do you measure that?
Professionally, it would definitely be any kind of external validation. So any managers that I've had, any upper level anybody, how I've done on a project, how quickly I get things done, how well I do the things. And so that translates into my personal life. You know, how quickly am I able to respond to this friend? You know, what can I do to be there every waking moment for everybody else except for myself?
How's that working for you?
Well, you know, here I am.
Okay. Well, it also sounds like, and I don't ever like to put values in people's mouths, but when I hear people talk about how they are naturally in many ways, I do like to just kind of point it out. So it sounds like you might have a value around excellence.
Yes, I think that's fair to say.
And doing things well. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know this already, but I'm going to say it louder for the people in the back, is that there's a difference between perfectionism and striving for excellence. Have you heard this speech before?
Yes, but feel free to repeat.
Okay. So striving for excellence can be a really great thing. Brené Brown talks about this all the time when she's lecturing on perfectionism, and that we can strive to do things very well and to do our best. When it pushes over into perfectionism is basically based on the simple question. So when we have a value on excellence, it is self-focused. We want to do things to be proud of them, so we can be proud of the work that we are doing. And that would actually point to your value around integrity.
even accountability, right?
Right.
It's important to you, period. Where it falls over into perfectionism is when it is outwardly focused. So we're thinking about what will people think? How am I going to be judged, measured, critiqued on my work?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's interesting you point that out too, because, you know, I would definitely, if I put a label on myself at times, would be a recovering perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And so that really likes to pop up every once in a while and just sit and stare at me on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that daily can pop up and weirdest things that I might be doing, you know, whether it's just my daily routine or something new I'm trying, or even just attempting to sit on my couch and do the thing that I want to talk about of slowing down.
Yeah.
That perfectionist is just sitting there and saying, why are you not doing something? And so I think going into, you know, being a business owner, going just in day-to-day life of just not feeling like it's enough, mm-hmm. by the external standards and having that, you know, perfectionist in me is really, it's a daily challenge.
Yeah, I get it, because we have been conditioned as women. I read this really great book. Oh my gosh, I probably read it back in 2010. It's by Courtney Martin, and it's called Perfect Girls, Starving Daughters. And it is from an angle of, you know, where eating disorders come from, but she is talking a lot about perfectionism. And one of the things she says in there is she's my age. I think she might be a couple years younger than me. And so her mom was a huge feminist in the 60s and 70s. And she said, and I'm assuming she's talking about, you know, Generation X, but I think millennials as well, and saying, you know, we grew up hearing that you can do and be anything you want. You know, the possibilities are endless, and hooray to that, right? Like, thank fucking God. We now live in a world where we have so many more opportunities than our mothers and grandmothers did. At the same time, what many of us heard was you have to do everything and you have to be everything. She calls it the unintended side effect of the feminist movement. And this woman, like, she started feministing.com, Courtney Martin did. So, like, she's not anti-feminist at all, but I think she has a really valid point there, and that we have grown up in a culture that has put a little bit of pressure on us.
There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise.
What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, I 100% agree. And I think too, you know, with the increased pressure from social media and society together, it's like, well, where do I start to even become one of all of those things that I was told that I can be and that I can do? And, you know, when I feel like I have even like a slight inkling of, okay, this is one thing that I need to be, and this is how I need to show up as to do the thing, it almost feels like, okay, well, now what? You know, and I'm just kind of in this maze of, I'm going to take a right turn when I should have gone left. And I think that pressure can be, again, paralyzing to the point of, well, then if I don't know what to do and I was told that I can do all the things, I'm just going to sit here until somebody picks me up and just gives me a guide plan. And then at that point, I'm back on the same track of doing everything that everybody else would tell me I need to be doing and not following my passion.
Okay. What are you afraid might happen if you don't, quote unquote, live up to your full potential or whatever it is that your perfectionist voice is telling you that you need to do? What is like your ultimate fear?
I'm afraid that if I don't follow my intuition and go with what I feel I need to, that I will put myself back in a reality of, you know, work hours today in the corporate life is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., that I'll go back into a job like that where it is just draining my soul to the point where I lose myself. And then I'm just constantly asking myself, what is life outside of these walls? Mm-hmm. I'll just be dreaming about it. And I'll still have all of these ideas and thoughts going around right now that I could be doing with my business, but back at square one of, no, you know, I'm in this safe space of, I know that I'm going to be getting a paycheck. I know that I'm going to be getting all those things from society that seem good. But again, it's still going to have that layer of, this isn't good enough, because there's not going to be any self-fulfillment there.
Okay. Oh, the struggle is real with that, right?
Like, yes.
Both outcomes are scary.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're losing yourself one way or another with both outcomes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This is like the point in the conversation where I have like three different questions and deciding which direction to go. But I think I'm going to go in this direction, because in the beginning of this conversation, you said you wanted a better perspective, more clarity, and your why, which I think stood out to me the most. And that's what I want to ask you about. And maybe the question is, when you're a 90-year-old lady, you know, in like 60 years, 59 years from now, that's a long time. you have a long road ahead of you. What do you want to be the most proud of? What do you want to be asked to go and be on a panel or a keynote or what, or in front of the fireplace with a bunch of people, whether they're your grandchildren or whomever, where you're talking about your life and they're asking you to tell stories? What do you want to be the most proud of?
That's actually, interestingly enough, easy for me to answer, because the first thing that comes to mind is that I want to be sitting in front of the panel wherever I'm at, whatever the platform is, and telling other people how I followed what felt good to me and what brought me joy and made me feel fulfilled. And doing that was using my voice and telling my story and sharing my story with other people and having it connect with those people in a way that empowered them to do the same. And it created a domino effect, mm-hmm. and helped break that mold that's been being built for so long of what we, especially as women, should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is just so powerful. And I've had people in my life that have done that for me. And at the end of the day, I don't look at their credentials. I don't look at their corporate job or, you know, how much they're making or anything like that. The things that stand out to me are the thoughts and feelings that they shared with me when they showed up as who they really are. And so that was so empowering for me and so strong that that's what I held on to. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I want to be remembered for.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
We all want to know that our lives mattered.
Yes.
To at least one person and that it was a life well lived. And it sounds like that's what you're clear about.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm also wondering if you keep up this pace, you know, keep going the way that it's going, keep going, you know, as to what brought you here, what do you think it's going to cost you in the long run?
That's a good question. I feel like it would cost me that opportunity to be able to fully live mm-hmm. so that I have those stories to share. I think that it would cause me to just continuously keep putting my toe in the puddles of water and not actually submerging and experiencing what it feels like to be out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. It sounds almost like, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, it sounds like you have sort of moved over into a new career path, which is essentially entrepreneurship. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. And you've kept the habits from your corporate job of go, 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 got to do it right, got to, you know, kind of climb the ladder, whatever that looks like in entrepreneurship for you. Is that fair to say?
You hit the nail on the head with that one.
Okay. So I wonder if, and you tell me, because I honestly am not getting a read, do you think it's habitual or do you think it is more of like an underlying issue, what we kind of talked about a few minutes ago? I can explain a little bit more if it's not clear.
Yeah. My gut reaction is that it's something deeper.
Okay. And it might be both, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what's interesting is, you know, I can ask someone the question, you know, what is this costing you? How do you see this working out in the long run if you continue to do this the way that you're doing it? And many times people are clear, like, this is going to destroy me, mm-hmm. but they still won't make any changes. And I'm curious then if you think the underlying thing, we talked about culture and what that is sort of put on you, this pressure. Is there anything else? Like, did something happen when you were younger or did somebody say something to you, whether it was a boss or a family member or something like that, that has sort of triggered you into being this way?
Yes. When I was younger, so it was super, super close with my family. And there were moments where my mom, she was a traveling nurse. And so when she would be gone for a week at a time and she'd come home, I would want to have the house cleaned for her so that she could just come home and relax and just slow down, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so when that would happen, it was always, not always, but it was a lot of moments of thank you, but you missed this. And so that really stuck with me. And now that I say that out loud, that was a trend with a lot of my bosses as well. It was, thanks, but next time do this. Or, hey, good job, but did you notice that this was missing? Mm-hmm. And so it was just really debilitating to the point where it made me sad. And so in those moments of when I'm really, really striving for that excellence marker, it's like, it keeps getting higher and higher no matter what. Like, I just can't reach it.
Hmm. Okay. How old were you? Like, and it might have gone on for years, but like, do you remember a certain age where that happened with your mom?
Yeah, it was definitely more in like junior high into high school.
Okay. Is she still around? Do you have a relationship with her?
Yeah, she's my best friend.
Interesting. Have you ever had this conversation? Like, would she be surprised to hear this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Would you be willing, and I would help you with this, would you be willing to have a conversation with her about it?
Yes, I would.
Okay. I didn't see that coming. Have you done any work on this before in therapy or anything?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big thing too, that, you know, was recently in the last couple of months unpacked for me too. And so it's a little raw. So I'm not really sure how to articulate on it, but it's interesting how it's really shown up in my professional life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for those people listening, I probably wouldn't recommend this to jump in feet first if you didn't have the kind of relationship. I definitely think it's possible. And I've done it with clients before where they've written letters to their parents and read them and even with a strained relationship with them. But if you tell me that your mom is your best friend, to me, that signals that she would be open to hearing you if you brought this from a very graceful and compassionate place, which I can help you with. And so here's how I would come at the conversation. And I want everyone to know that I learned how to communicate the 1-2-3s of communication from my best friend, Amy Smith, who's over at the Joy Junkie podcast. This is her wheelhouse. And any hard conversation I've had to have, she's helped me through. I would start with gratitude. And what that might sound like is, I have loved being your daughter. You have raised me to have so many amazing qualities. And I'm just spitballing here. So like you would make this sound exactly like it would for you. You could say, I'm just so incredibly grateful that you're my mom. And here's all the things I love about you. And you don't have to go on for 10 minutes. You know, it might be a minute or so. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, I was having a conversation with someone and I kind of realized that one of my triggers is this thing. And also here's what I would say, Marissa, please know, mom, that I know that you did the absolute best that you could. You were working so much and traveling, and that had to have been extraordinarily difficult to try to have any kind of work-life balance. And you did the best you could. And I can totally see that. And so here's a thing for everyone about communication. You were saying too, when you were describing how your bosses have made, you know, like giving feedback and even your mom, if you tell someone, thanks for cleaning the house, but you missed the bathroom. Mm-hmm. It's very different to say, thank you so much for cleaning the house. I can tell you worked so hard for this. And I would love to make a request. If you, the next time you do it, I would be so happy if you did the same exact thing that you did. And if you could hit this part right here, it's, you know what I mean? Like, do you see the difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's sometimes it's just as small as saying, and instead of, but.
Yes.
Because many times when we're saying, but, we're negating and dismissing what we just said. I love you, but you have a big mouth. You're like, yeah. No, it's not. That's not nice. So I would start with gratitude. Tell her that you understand how hard it was for her during those years, or at least you can imagine it was hard for her during those years. Yeah. And the way you remember it is this, because here's the thing with when we have, and I've had this experience when I've had conversations with my own mom about things that happened in my childhood, she might have a very different recollection of it.
Right.
So you would say like, and here was my experience. Here's how I remember it, you know, and then you tell her and just say, I would even repeat and say, I know that you did the best you could. And it's just like one of those things that I still think about sometimes.
Yeah. I think that sounds like an approach that she would definitely be receptive to, mm-hmm. You know, and having that really close relationship with her, I think that she will hear it. And, you know, now that it's all being said out loud, I think really importantly too, for me, it'll feel like that's not sitting on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I would want to do is go into that conversation with a lot of heaviness and just, well, here's the things that you said to me and how they've affected me, and just really automatically put her on defense mode.
Right. And she's not listening when she gets into that place.
Yeah.
Because of course, any human would do that would feel backed into a corner. So I think that when you could even say, and again, this is totally depends on your style and your relationship that you have with her. You could even say, my guess is that it was not at all your intention. my guess is that you were probably so tired and maybe a little bit irritated by something else that had happened at work. And that this is how it came out. And as a kid, here's how I interpreted it. And it's kind of stayed with me.
Whew. Yeah, I think that's phenomenal. I mean, I'm even just trying to process it right now, and I can even see myself and feel myself having that conversation.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/noise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/noise to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/noise.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So what's happening emotionally over there right now?
I have a lump in my throat, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I'm having to just remember to breathe because it's kind of making me kind of try and lose my breath a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's bringing up the moments of the excellence and feeling like if I have this conversation, that it might be hard for her to hear, but I think that I need to remind myself that oftentimes those conversations are the ones that really just need to be had. And, you know, when I go into it, really remembering, you know, use the and, you know, expressing the gratitude and making sure that I show up the way that feels best and feels the most fulfilling for me, and what do I want to get out of that conversation?
I think
it's going to force me to pause,
mm-hmm.
which takes
that
me
patience again.
Yeah, it's going to force me to pause and just really slow down and be really intentional with my words and my actions, which I'm just having such a light bulb over here. I need to do that with my entire life.
Really?
Like I said in the beginning, like I just need to slow down. And I think the thing that's missing is that clarity of my intentions of what it is I'm doing.
Yeah. I smell a homework assignment. And before I circle back with something that you just said, what do you think the assignment is in terms of what you just said? Like, what are your intentions with everything you're doing? That was a huge statement. So how could that be sort of parsed down into an assignment for you?
For me, I've always really been big into writing and journaling.
Okay.
So I think for me, I really need to reflect on what that statement means for me. And I don't know if that looks like writing down all of the thoughts and ideas that I've had over the last couple of months to a year and diving into what they mean to me, mm-hmm. and narrowing them down. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I was just listening to, everybody keeps telling me about Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast, which I had never listened to. And so I was scrolling through it and I saw that John Gottman was one of his guests back in February. And so that was the very first episode I listened to. And it's like a two-hour plus interview. And for those of you that don't know who John Gottman is, he has so much tenure in the experience or in the research of relationships. And he cited many, many studies during this long interview. And one of them, he cited about research that was done, I can't remember what country it was, where they were trying to figure out why people, you know, the age old question of like, why do some people live longer than others? And it was nutrition, is it exercise? And what they found was that one of the biggest factors was the health that we have of our personal relationships. What do you think?
I mean, the health of personal relationships that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
It's bigger than we realize.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad to hear you have a close relationship with your mom. I know that many people listening don't have that experience. And I also think that there are other people, you know, you can have a very close relationship with other women or your sister or your partner or whomever. And things will come up where they need to be talked about.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
To benefit both of you.
It's always like, you know, an approach of the health of any personal relationships really is like they're a constant work in progress.
Yeah.
And it's interesting too, that facet of, you know, we as women especially kind of are so aware of the health of our physical body. Sure. And so what about the health of everything else outside of that?
Exactly. And
our personal relationships are a huge thing because that molds so much of what goes on in our lives.
Precisely. And I also think that to circle back to what you were saying about how, I can't remember what you said, but it was something about how she might be uncomfortable or defensive or things like that. Of course she will. Like nobody wants to, I don't like hearing, you know, when my best friend or my husband comes to me and they telling me that I'm doing something that they don't like. And I'll tell you what though, I'm way more open to hear it if they come to me with kindness and love rather than yelling or pointing fingers or blaming. Just science tells us that we shut down in those moments. Like nobody wants, we don't want to hear it. We immediately get defensive. So it all comes back to communication and how we communicate it. But yes, she's going to be uncomfortable. Yes, you are going to be uncomfortable. And the win is that when you can have these types of conversations with people, at the end of the day, my hope is that it will bring you closer. However, you nor I can predict how this will go. I have a good feeling based on just what you have told me that it would go well. But in other instances, you know, maybe for other people listening, we have no control of how that person is going to respond to what we bring them. All we have control over is how we show up with kindness and honesty and clarity. And that's my question to you, Marissa, is what do you want? Like, how are you going to call this a success? What do you want the intention to be of the conversation?
That's a really good question. The intention of the conversation would be, I feel like for both of us to really pause, mm-hmm. And just really be in that conversation. I feel like
I'm going to stop you for a second. You don't have any control over how or what she does. I mean, I know that you know her really well.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have said that. Like, what is your intention for you?
For me, I want the feeling that everything that I did years ago was good enough. And, in those moments where I felt completely defeated because I thought that I was doing something really, really helpful and something that was really needed and that I would get shown the gratitude that I thought that I wanted. And mm-hmm. in moments just wasn't, mm-hmm. that it was good enough for me in that moment. And I want to walk away with also hearing for myself that I am good enough and that it's okay sometimes that if there's a piece of paper on the floor or if I clean the house and I just don't have the energy some days to do it all in 2 hours, I want it to be okay. And going back to those moments of just like being fine with where I'm at in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's bringing up like a lot of emotion for me right now. Mm-hmm. because it just takes me back to those moments of like, I really just wanted, like, my intention in those moments years ago was just to really be helpful. And that's so near and dear to me. And so what I want to walk away with is that I need to remember to be helpful for myself.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. 100%. And my hope is that it seems like a baby step, but it could be a really big step in you getting to that place where taking a break is not only deserved, but necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
And that you have done enough.
Yeah. I think for so long, taking a break for me was so cloudy and not really defined. And it was just take a break as in like 15 minutes from whatever I'm doing. But I think that like taking a break is going to show up much differently and a lot more clear in different ways for me.
Yeah. All right. So what do you want to... We jumped around a little bit in this conversation, but I have down that you're going to, and tell me if this needs to be more specific, but what I wrote down is that you're going to journal on your intentions for your life.
Yes.
Okay. Are you clear on what that is? Because I'm not, but it doesn't matter. Only if you are. You know what that means?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That to me means something that
okay.
I understand and I can already see.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
All right. And then you're going to have this conversation with your mom.
Yes.
And I can help you offline too, in terms of just setting up the conversation and getting really clear on kind of what like your bullet points are.
Yeah.
So that you feel ready. When do you think you can have that conversation with her?
Uniquely enough, I'm actually going to be going on a short trip with her tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
For the next couple of days, and we're both going to be in kind of a vacation mode. So I don't know if that's the appropriate time or if there will ever be an appropriate time. I have no idea, but.
Does it feel okay for you to just sort of feel it out? And if it feels good, then you'll do it. But if not, I'm not going to be mad at you. Like there's still time.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. I never want people to feel rushed going into these conversations because it's important.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. To me, it doesn't really feel rushed because I feel like it's a conversation I've deep down known that I need to have.
Yeah.
Just haven't really known how to approach it.
Yeah. And I want to say something too for people listening who might be in tears at this moment, you know, thinking of someone in their life that they would love to have the opportunity to have this conversation with, but they can't because that person, either they're estranged from that person or that person has passed away. I think it can be enormously helpful to write a letter to that person or even do a voice recording where you have the conversation anyway. I think there's something powerful about getting your words out, especially having them come out of your body via your voice. And I think for women especially who have been, I mean, let's call it what it is. We've grown up in a culture where our voice was not valued as much. And we're taught, you know, not to cause a scene and cause a ruckus and those types of things. It can be extremely therapeutic and healing to hear the words come out of your own mouth. So I just wanted to pause and say that for anyone listening. And circling back to you, my dear, those two things, because I kind of want to assign you like logistically taking a break and things like that. Do you feel like that would be helpful or do you think that this is enough for now?
That would be so helpful. Like that is what I need. I need someone to say, hey, do this.
You have to take a break or I'm going to kick your ass.
Yes.
from here to Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you tell me what would feel doable.
As far as like time.
Yeah. And like, I don't know what your schedule looks like. Do you like want to go do yoga once a week or do you want to go for a walk around your neighborhood? Like what feels like a break for you that's doable?
Yeah. I really think like just taking a walk somewhere new, like at least once a week, because I, you know, am in the same environment 95% of the time. And so I really just need to force myself to leave that environment.
Okay. And
so I have ample opportunity to do that where I'm at. I just don't.
What do you get out of that? Why? I'm just curious why you picked that.
It gets me away from being connected so much. And whenever I get to disconnect, like whenever, to elaborate, I think that the assignment for me would be go out and walk somewhere for an hour, at least once a week, and leave my phone at home or leave it in the car and just be with myself.
Good exercise.
Yeah. When I'm so connected all the time, I'll find myself just not even consciously scrolling through any kind of social media. Mm-hmm. And then the fast pace comes back in my mind. And so, yeah, I just need to leave the comfort of where I'm at right now and explore.
Excellent. And you feel like that's doable?
Yes.
Do you already have a time in mind? Like, is it better for you to do that during like the morning hours or on the weekend, or what do you think?
Morning hours.
Okay. Okay. I like to set people up as much for success as possible. And here's the thing, like what typically happens, and this is with anyone, like if you're working with a personal trainer or, you know, whatever, you do the exercise mostly because you're being held accountable. And then when you're not working with that person anymore, when no one's holding you accountable, you don't do it anymore. But I don't think that all is lost, because what ends up happening is you remember what you got out of it when you did the thing.
Yes.
And that will in turn hopefully help you create habits, or, you know, you get an accountability buddy, also known as accountability buddy, which is hard to say, but you find, in other words, you find ways to get it done the more you realize how much it benefits you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. How are you feeling now?
Good. I mean, I feel like I want to go just grab a piece of paper and write for the rest of the day.
Well, then I will let you go and do that. Is that possible for you to do?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Will you do it?
Yes, I will. I promise.
Okay. So I am around tonight. So I'm going to email you later on this evening and ask how it went.
Okay.
And what we'll do is you and I offline will figure out how we're going to, how I'm going to hold you accountable and things like that. And then if it's okay with you, and we'll get an update from you in a few weeks and how things went, and I will be able to tell everybody. Sound good?
That's perfect.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So that was Marissa. And I know that many of you saw parts of yourself in things that she was saying and some of the circumstances that she was in. So here's what ended up happening. I emailed her and asked her how her homework had gone. And here was the initial email that she sent me. She said, "Journaling was great. I was able to get clarity on what I felt I needed to say during the conversation with my mom. As the universe would have it, I was given the perfect opportunity to talk with her about the things we discussed while in Florida last week. The conversation went better than I could have ever imagined. We had some of the most open and honest conversations we have ever had. Thank you, thank you, thank you." So I knew there was more to this story. I knew that I needed to follow up with her a few weeks later because she forgot to tell me about how it was going on her walks. Was she able to do that? That was such a big part of what she wanted, the solitude and leaving her phone at home. And so a few weeks later, I followed up with her and I was like, "Girl, I need some more details. How's it going? How's everything going? Tell me everything, any takeaways that you've had since our session." And this is the best part. Here's what Marissa said. She said, "The conversation I had with my mom sparked even more for both her and me. I was able to finally feel like my mom truly knew who I was. We connected on a soul and spiritual level during that conversation and after. It's like we have a much better understanding of each other. We are both human. We mess up, fall down, get back up, have days where our egos take over. P.S. I've also given my ego a name, Janet. And at the end of the day, we are both confident in who we are. My mom told me some powerful things during our conversation that really helped me pause and reflect on me as Marissa, not as me, my career, my bank account, my passport stamps, etc. I've been journaling on so many things, meditating, pausing to breathe, yelling as loud as I want in the safety of my office on days where I want to throw in the towel. Instead of retreating back to the conversation with Janet, i.e. was leaving my job right, I'm not making enough money, I don't see my family and friends enough, etc., I'm now allowing myself to experience whatever feelings I need to in that moment. It's been a weird and new version of bliss for me. Have I been able to go outside for a walk and leave my phone? Yes. This is something I do every single morning now. I wake up, don't check my phone, get my dog, and we go for a walk and be. That practice alone has been transformational for me. I feel so much more in tune, connected to myself, and ready to take on whatever the day puts in my path. Yes, Marissa, I am so glad to hear all of this. And I want to pause for a second. And any of you listening whose inner critic might have jumped in when I was reading that update, and your inner critic might have said, well, I have a shitty relationship with my mom. That could never happen. Well, I have three little kids at home. What am I going to get up at 4 in the morning to go for a walk in solitude? Sometimes our inner critic comes in and does this compare and despair with other personal development, other people's breakthroughs and things like that. I had a podcast about it a few weeks ago on this particular topic. It might happen. So all I'm asking for is to watch out for that. Focus on what can be your wins. What did you take away from that episode where you thought, you know what? I love that idea. This other thing is actually going to work for me. Or maybe I have this conversation with this other person in my life. It is all about figuring out what works for you, taking action, and also watching out for your inner critic. Do your best to have self-compassion. You might fall on your face. That person may not show up for you as you want them to show up. But as I've written about in my books, this is all about the experience of actually doing it. This is where we gain courage and confidence from doing the thing and building up the resilience along the way. I love you. I love you. I love you. All of you. I love doing these episodes because it gets me in touch with you, the listener. I know that the people that I coach on the podcast are just a sample of all of you listening, and it just makes my heart explode. So thank you, Marissa, for being so vulnerable and sharing your life with us here on the podcast. And to you, Ask Kickers, thank you so much for listening. I know how valuable your time is, and I so appreciate that you spend it with me. And until next time, I will see you out in cyberspace. Bye-bye.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.